This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lytton. Coming up, a new film tells the truth about apartheid. But first, when we talk about the Middle East, the conversation generally ranges over its complex history or political trends or the latest news. But the Lebanese literary anthology, Transit Beirut, provides a glimpse into a more personal, lesser-known side of Beirut, Lebanon. The anthology creates a picture of contemporary Beirut characterized by smart young voices. The book came out last year, but many of the contributors are in the streets of Beirut this week, demanding the withdrawal of Syrian soldiers from their country. The collection is edited by Malou Halassa and Roseanne Saad Khalif. Ms. Halassa joins us now from London. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's begin with something that we also can hear from this book. You got some of the authors to read their pieces for a London radio network. Let's listen to No Place Like Home by Layla M. She just uses her last initial. Layla is a Lebanese girl who's writing about a party that she attends in London, and she's talking about something transgressive.
Having my mother spit in my face after school one day was not the response I expected from asking if she'd had a good day. I met him at a very crap party. I didn't have many Arab friends, and although he wasn't someone I would have normally spoken to, he was polite and we made small talk. He even offered to walk me to the station. While walking at a steady pace, he grabbed my arm with one hand and my head with the other, and he tried to kiss me. It was an unexpected and unwelcome move that left me screaming at him in my limited Arabic. Ashamed and angry, he made a swift exit, and that was the end of that as far as I was concerned. The following day, while I was at school, his mum had called my mum and asked if she knew I'd been kissing boys. His mother also informed my mum that I'd offered to sleep with her precious son, but because he was such a good boy, he'd refused and walked me to the station instead to make sure I didn't get into any trouble. Hence my mother's reactionary face spitting. She wasn't upset by the fact that it might be true because she knew it was a classic case of shit-stirring. She was just frustrated that even the simplest situations were distorted by interfering old Arabs who should know better, and that despite the physical distance between London and Beirut, there just wasn't any escaping it.
Why does Layla M. say that she knows very few Arabs? Is it because she's so displaced in London?
In part, yes. She's sent by her parents to go to school to learn Arabic. They're trying to recreate, you know, Beirut and London. Her interests lie elsewhere. You know, she's completely formed by popular culture.
But some of these pieces really give outsiders a chance to know Beirut, I think, in a unique way. You've broken the book down into four themes: flux, navigating, suspended, and restless.
I think that the trouble with writing from the Middle East is that it's either academic, or it's historical, or it's news-based. When you go to Beirut and you're exhausted by the vibrancy of the city and the way that the people are, I think that that's a new face. That's the face that should be shown now. It's a much more intimate face of a spirit of a people, and I think that's what you're seeing on the streets now.
Some of these authors, some of them are students at the American University of Beirut. Some of them were out protesting this past week.
Yes. Nadine Touma, Maher Kassar, Ren Mahfouz, who's a Christian photographer who made it her business to go into the Palestinian camps in Lebanon. She was on the streets. And from what I was told is that every time people went onto the streets, everyone was hugging, you know, Christians hugged Muslims, hugged Druze. They were united in the fact that they wanted to, you know, seize back their country.
One of the longest essays in this book that you also made into a radio piece is called War Milk. And it's by a young woman named Zaina B. Gandour. And it speaks about things ranging from 1920s fascination with what was then called Orientalism. She's referring to people such as T.E. Lawrence. In fact, specifically, she cites him. And he, of course, is one of the great Arabists of all time, but he did have to do with the creation of the modern Middle East. It's a complicated history.
A lot of them did not stop at sketching desert oases by day and listening to live, improvised poetry by moonlight. Some took to politics and sought to influence the course of history. To that end, they spoke with two tongues and bewitched us with proclamations of Arab unity, just as they betrayed us with their treaties.
The treaties she's speaking of are those that created Lebanon and Syria, the Sykes-Picot Agreement of 1917. And there were many travelers, writers, and people who call themselves Orientalists who really remade the map, for better or worse, of what we think of as the modern Middle East.
What's interesting about Zainabi Gondour's work is that she can talk about Orientalism, and then she can also talk about Palestinian Fidayeen fighters in the same story, because both complex histories are part of the trends that have formed Beirut. I mean, the contributors of the book, they're going against all odds. They're denying this violent history, and they're reshaping their country.
Well, thank you very much, Malou Khalassa. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
Malou Khalassa is co-editor of the anthology Transit Beirut. To hear extended readings from the book, visit our website, npr.org.